welcome to another episode of Mention and Dispatches. This is the podcast of the Armchair Dragoons. As always, I am Brant. I am here with another podcast rookie. We seem to have several of them this season. Mike, who goes by OJ's dad on our forums. Howdy, Mike. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing great. Doing great. We also have Vance from the not yet cold white north, huh?
Not quite frozen yet.
Oh, give it a week, huh?
Yeah.
And not quite as far north, but soon to be just as cold. Our good buddy Cyrano is back. Jim, how are you?
Hey, good evening, everybody. Doing well, thanks.
All right. This cast and crew that we have together is here for a particular topic. Those of you that have been watching the Armchair Dragoons site for a little while know that on the weekends, we run the Saturday Night Fights video series up there, where you get to watch and listen and eavesdrop on some of our gaming, and using the little interactive chat features on YouTube, you even get to sort of sound off and have your say with what's going on in there. And so we've got the ringmaster of that circus with us, along with a couple of the regulars that play in a bunch of these games. And so, Jim, you're the guy that leads that circus. Give us a quick synopsis of sort of how the Saturday Night Fights as a whole came to be, not necessarily on any specific platform, but I know Tabletop Simulator is a big part of it, so we'll get to that here in a second. The genesis and inspiration behind Saturday Night Fights. Go.
It was originally, it really grew out of the experience of being with the Armchair Dragoons crew at Origins. It's one of those things. I worked at the Renaissance Fair for a lot of years, and it's a running joke at the Ren Fair that on the last weekend, everybody goes around crying, oh my God, let's not lose touch, let's not lose touch, and then everybody loses touch. You know, you lose touch with those people you care about and you have so many great memories with and you want to be with them. And it's the same thing at Origins. You get together with a bunch of people that you realize that by disposition, by historical interest, you love gaming with these guys. I mean, I've played a bunch of live games with Vance, and Vance has taught me games and I've taught him some games. And you know, OJ, we've hung out too there. I think, was this your first one this year, OJ?
No, I've been there several times.
Is that it? My memory, it starts to be some boozy haze.
He's usually doing drive-by visits. He's just sort of there for the day because I think, Mike, don't you have a couple of, like, family birthdays around that weekend usually?
Yep. Usually both kids have birthdays that weekend.
Yeah. So Jim, keeping that Origins feeling together. Uh-oh. Don't tell me we lost Jim again. Jim touched his microphone.
He's still there.
He's showing that he's still here. Man. All right, so Vance, you're teaching Jim games at Origins. And it's a lot of fun, and we want to keep doing it.
Well, yeah, we're teaching each other games that we're demoing for everybody else, too. So it's always fun because we get to show our friends some of the games that we get to show the general public as well. So we've taught each other. He's taught me a little bit about Command and Colors, and I've taught him Wing Leader and different games like that, Sergeants, whatnot.
I think you've taught like 40% of the Origins attendees Sergeants at some point or another.
I think I have, yeah. Which is nice because we get lots of repeat customers, though.
Oh, yeah.
The same guys come back year after year to play.
We get those for a lot of different games, certainly for the Command Post exercises.
Yes.
So,
some of the same crossover group too.
Yeah, yeah. We're gonna sit here and babble until Jim gets his mic worked out.
differentiates how.
Yeah. Well, usually we're just babbling because everybody's participating, not just one person who we can't hear. So.
Did you send him a note?
You know. I suppose we probably could do that. And I hope nobody thinks we're going to edit this out. Like, we did this last week. Two recordings ago when we lost our buddy Jim mid-call. And there he goes. Maybe he'll be back in a minute.
Okay, how much of that did you lose?
A good chunk of it. Quite a bit. Pretty much everything after Mike telling us that he generally had birthdays around that time.
All right. So saying it again. Beat. What the impetus for it was, I got together, you know, we would leave from these places, and the first thing I did was talk to Doug, and Doug and I put together the original Kriegspiel that we're still playing the second version of now online, and it's having so much success. We've got two of them. We've talked about that. That's online. But I also really envy the guys on Little Wars TV. They're a great group of guys. I don't necessarily have their same taste in rules and in games, but I love what they do, and I would love to hang out with them. And I really envy the fact that they've got this fixed spot where they all seem to live near, and they've got this great collection of games and terrain. Everybody seems to bring their own thing to the table. And even if people aren't, you know, one guy's not into World War II, well, I'll play some World War II, and one guy's not into Napoleonics, I'll do that. And they do all of it. And I said, geez, and I just don't have that where I am. I'm not fortunate. We all can't be Mirth. I think Silent Disapproval Robot has a group he gets to hang out with too. You know, we all can't be these guys. And so I said, I would like that. And so I set up I sort of thought about it, and I wanted to come up with a few basic principles. Number one is I wanted as much as possible to do multiplayer games so that more than one person could join. Number two, I wanted it to be simple so that if I had to teach it, which often enough I do, I wanted it to be, you know, quick teach so it didn't stay too long in the way of actually playing the game. And the third was I wanted it to come from a variety of periods. I mean, I'll play Napoleonics until hell won't have it. But I wanted to be able to I wanted to try to do some other things too, and that's why we've dipped into, even though we've done a lot of Napoleonics, we've done Age of Sail. Well, we'll talk about that too, but I really wanted to come from a broad range of subject matters, and then finally to share it out. I hate to be weird or morose about it, but to let people know you don't have to be alone in gaming anymore. Once upon a time, Brant, you and I have talked about it when we did our episodes of Dragon Up the Past, and we looked and we saw the play-by-email opponents wanted in the Dragon magazine for guys, and this is a Dragon, mind you, for guys wanting to play squad leader by email, or by mail.
By mail, yeah.
You know, email, I wish. You know, play squad leader by, can you imagine playing squad leader by mail?
Host, yeah.
I mean, geez. You know, so, but, you know, all these guys, and there was this whole generation, and I did this, play chess by postcard, you know, where you'd have a postcard you would drop in, it had a chessboard, and you'd make your moves. And, you know, so I saw all those things. I said, there's no need, certainly with Vassal, which I'm not the biggest fan of, but with all the other technology that we've got, including LAN and you know, the connectivity that we've got, it's not just people who play Borderlands 3 and PUBG and all these other games that are the ones that should be able to socialize and play social games with their friends. I think Wargamers can too, and I really wanted to show that. And I think, well, we've been doing it now for 8 months and heading on to 9, and I think we've pretty consistently shown how well it works.
Yeah, definitely that. I think the first one that I can recall seeing was when you and Doug decided, I think it was rather spontaneously decided, you were going to broadcast one of your Tiller games. And you actually had two streams going because Doug was streaming one side while you were streaming the other. And so that was fun because the audio was identical, but you got to watch each other's maps going. So for folks that either wanted to watch things really small or had a multi-monitor setup, you could just leave the audio on one or the other and watch both sides of the map go at the game there.
Well, what was really cool about that one was we actually were both playtesters for the North Africa campaign game from our good friends at War Game Design Studios. And we got permission from them to do an early preview game of their North Africa campaign game. And it was kind of exciting because we got you're right. It was great to see people tuning into both feeds. It was very neat to see people jump between both or have both up on their screens. But it was also great because a lot of people jumped on saying, oh, what's this neat new thing they're playing? So that's not something Wargamers get to do much. No. I mean, there's not a whole lot of Twitch streaming out there going on. Come watch us play Squad Leader Scenario 4. You know, there's not a lot of that. So that was very neat.
So once we're all home from Origins and you start playing around with how to multiplayerize these things, I don't know as you've done a multiplayer something that didn't involve Tabletop Simulator. Am I right?
That's correct.
So, how long before we started with the with the Saturday Night Fights had you started poking around with Tabletop Simulator that you figured out that was the right vehicle through which to do these things versus sort of, hey, I think Tabletop Simulator will work. Let's figure it out while we go.
I hated Tabletop Simulator when I first got it. Absolutely hated it. Now, just to be clear, I now have almost 600 hours on it, and no sign of slowing down. I spend 3-4 hours a night on it if I can.
So the hate is
strong. But anyway, I got it in the Steam sale, which, by the way, if you want to, you know, if you follow me or if you follow the Armchair Dragoons and you see this, I just posted the images from one of our upcoming games, the Battle of Omdurman for Black Powder 2. It's going to be a 4-player extravaganza, including the charge of Winston Churchill and the 21st Bengal Lancers.
Extravaganza. Can't wait.
Extravaganza. I guarantee it. But no, people ask me all the time, what is this? How can I get it? I got it the same way everybody else should get it, which is to wait for the Steam sales that come around. And this game is so common now that you'll get it all the time. I think I paid $5 for it, which on a dollar for hour of entertainment basis, there's nothing even close in my library. But anyway, I hated it because the physics were weird. I didn't think I could control it. And I kind of put it to the side. And all of a sudden, a guy by the name of Mad Mark, who I can't say enough things about, and I've mentioned a bunch in our 30 Years War quad games, he started releasing SPI game mods. And the first one I found, and because that's what fate wanted me to find, was the classic SPI Wellington's Victory, the massive monster game of Waterloo. And I loaded this thing up, and it was the whole glorious, huge, not fitting on any kind of a normal table map, with all the counters. And Mad Mark is a lunatic. He redid all the counters using a paint program, or Adobe actually he uses Illustrator. And he redid all those horribly punched counters, put the rules on the table, set up the table, and I went, oh my God. And here's my thing, and I'm not against Vassal. People accuse me of this. I'm not. It just doesn't work for me. The fact that I'm now in a faux 3D space on Tabletop Simulator, moving around the table, looking at the whole table, seeing the whole thing spread out in a notional space, and able to go, oh yeah, over there is La Haye Sainte, and beyond it is Papelot. And I saw this, and I went, I've got to make this work. And I started collecting and collecting and learning and collecting. And then finally, I started putzing with miniatures. And I was first, I've always been first a miniatures gamer. I was attracted by the beauty of that many, many years ago. And when I realized that there were enough Napoleonic, colonial, and honestly, life is funny this way. The thing that taught me that this would really work was a set by a great other developer for Tabletop Simulator, a guy by the name of Kendo. He put out the original two scenarios for Gary Gygax's Chainmail. And he built, you know, the little Norman fort and all the little figures and all the terrain. And I thought, 13-year-old me would have killed to have the money to buy the figs, to buy the terrain. And here I am. I can just play it. And I have got to invite my friends over to play this garbage with me. And that really is the story. And it was realizing that miniatures games, I mean, because look, any miniatures gamer will tell you, it's a trope among us. The ratio of unpainted to painted lead in any true miniature gamer's closet is wildly out of proportion. They, you know, we kid around about people who don't open and cut and punch their games. I'm here to tell you. I am here to tell you it's worse among miniature gamers. Way worse. And here, all of a sudden, was no run-up, no painting, no mess. My eyesight, frankly, doesn't do very well with miniatures anymore. No terrain to store, no table to keep, I could make the biggest table I want. The table where Vance and myself and Doug and some others played Toygenhausen. And by the way, Vance, I've now made it twice as wide. I've broken down.
Yay.
But that table, even in at that size, was 12 feet by 6 feet in scale.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, my wife is very, very tolerant of my hobbies, more than I deserve. But I don't got room for a 12 by 6, much less what I now have, which is a 12 by, actually I took it up 50%, so it's 12 by 9. You know, so it was that opportunity to have these massive tables with thousands of figs and to move them around and then best of all, invite my friends over, crack open a beer, sit down on YouTube, like you said, Brant, and just have a go at it. It's the best.
So Mike, when you get the call for, hey, come play this stuff with us, first of all, I'm sure you thought everybody was bat crap crazy, but had you watched much of the YouTube video stuff before you got roped into playing?
No. Nope. I hadn't watched any of them yet. So, I think I saw some of the posts up on the forums and thought, hey, this looks interesting. And about that time, Tabletop Simulator was on 50% off sale. And so I decided to go ahead and pick it up and give it a try.
Amazing how many wargaming decisions seem to come down to, well, hey, it was on sale.
Shelves and shelves of that.
Yes. You know, yes.
What's interesting is Jim was talking about the miniature side, but there's also a ton of hex base stuff out there. I have the Steam site for Tabletop Simulator open right now, and in the workshop there's Strategy and Tactics magazine. Somebody's done up a game for East Africa in World War I. You know, so and the great thing is almost everything's free.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so just so that the audience is clear and understands what we're talking about, the Tabletop Simulator software itself that creates the environment and the UI around which you're controlling all these games, that one you got to pay for on Steam, right?
Yeah. So it's normally $20. I just looked it up. I mean, it's like I said, though, is we're coming up into the time of year that you can get this thing for at least half off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's on sale like 4 or 5 times a year.
Yeah, exactly. But the workshop pieces, the things that people have gone out there and created, whether they're games or components or tables, you know, whatever, if it's in the workshop, it's free. There is DLC that is purchasable items, but there's plenty of stuff that people have already created.
Yeah, yeah, and some of them being created by people on this call. So Vance, you get Tabletop Simulator installed, and then once you're ready to play, like, you don't need the same downloaded mods and everything as whoever is hosting the game, correct?
No, yeah, that's what's another great aspect of it, is your host, whoever's deciding to host the game that night, has the base game, and he just opens it up, and you get invited into his session aspect, whatever you want to call it, of the game, and you just play with his pieces. It's great. That's what's another thing about this program is I don't even know how to make these games or where they're located in the workshop in Steam, because I've just continually playing on Jim's table. Whatever he sets up, I'll play.
Yeah, the technical term for that in the IT world is you're playing his instance of the game.
That's what I was looking for.
Yes, that is the IT term that nobody outside of IT weenies cares, and any IT weenies that are listening right now are going, damn it, I want to leave work at work. Tell me about games. So,
right, so I don't have to download anything to play. He just sends me an invite. We go in. He's got it all set up, and off we go.
Now, as we're watching the YouTube broadcast, Jim, that's just you broadcasting your app, your screen right there, where you're gaming, correct?
Yes.
So as we're watching all those little rainbow-colored hands grab the table and move and zoom in and out and pan and rotate and all that, all we're seeing is your control of the game, correct?
Right, and I, it's funny you say that. I have tried to remember. I've tried to do better. How's that? Remembering two things. One, if anybody is doing the Darth Vader into the microphone to get him to back off. Because it's funny, because, and I've gotten this feedback. When you enter the YouTube space, you get lots of criticism that's incredibly positive and some that's just straight up obnoxious. And but I did take as constructive a very positive piece where a guy said, look, dude, I'm willing to sit here and listen to you while I'm painting. Because a lot of people don't watch us live. We know that. We it's a regular joke. If we get above 10 watchers, we're excited. You know, if we get more 10 solid viewers, we are pleased. But some of our videos on replay have gone into the 600-700s.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, so, yeah, we're not at internet money yet, but, you know, that's still a lot of people watching our videos.
Yeah, it's impressive.
And those people, and the other thing is, when you watch a Little Wars video, and again, I'm praising them, not criticizing them, those guys put a lot of work into editing this thing. I'm just letting the camera run.
Yeah.
And it's running, typically we try to knock it to 3 to 3.5 hours. And so you're watching for 3 to 3.5 hours, and some constructive people have said, look, dude, I'm willing to sit here and let this be my background while I paint soldiers or do some housework or whatever, but you are not going to have somebody breathing heavily into my ear every 5 to 10 minutes. So I've learned a lot about that piece of it, and I've also tried to learn to keep as much as I can my camera steady, because, Brent, you're absolutely right. There is this point that I am their viewpoint on the table. And I try to set it at a point where they can get information about what's happening. They can be aware of what decisions are being made, how the dice rolls are going, and not fly around too much.
Well, but part of the point I was making there is that the viewpoint we're seeing is yours, but there's 4 or 5 other guys around the table. And so with everybody else around the table, they're not necessarily seeing what you're broadcasting. They're picking and choosing where they pan, where they zoom, what they're looking at.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So I just I wanted to make sure of that. Jim, just for broadcast purposes, I'm legitimately curious. Do you have the ability to see, to sort of give control of the camera to somebody else to see what Vance is seeing from your station?
I don't, because the program that does the broadcasting is a separate piece of software. There is the ability, now that you've said that, I've meant to explore this. They just imported into Tabletop Simulator the ability to set a player, because that's what it is. Each, you know, Mike and Vance and Doug and everybody else, when they come on board, they become what's called a player, and they get a little color, and their name appears on the table. It's very social. But one of the other things you can do is set a player to be a camera. And it would give me the ability to have 2 camera angles that I could switch between. And I have been tempted to try and see if I can get this to work, because I use a product, I use a freely available product called XSplit Broadcast. It's a share, what we used to call it, I don't know if we call it that anymore, shareware, where it's free for up to a point, and then you have to, if you want more modules or pieces, you pay for it. But I don't know if it works if the free version does this. The ability to say, look, I have actually 2 cameras. One of them is me, and the other one is a non-player who's just sort of floating above the table, giving a eagle-eye view.
Yeah, well, I was curious not so much in switching necessarily, but in some sort of split screen or side-by-side view that we had, like one God view over the table looking at everything, while yours is, you know, because you're an active player in the game also, while you're sort of zipping around a little bit, you know, grabbing and controlling and moving stuff around. So that was where the curiosity came from.
And that's definitely, you know, as everybody who follows the podcast knows, my wife is actually the video genius in the house, and I've had her poking at that to see if we can't set something like that up, because I would like it so that people who were confused by, you know, like when we were playing Breitenfeld, people might be confused about the close-ups of me moving my pieces, but if they've got a sort of, you know, the same view you get on ESPN, right, where you can see the whole poker table.
Yep.
And yep. Then you see the individual players on a separate split screen. We may well see something like that in the future.
The Now that we've just lost half our audience to technical production questions, yeah. Sorry, yeah, Vance. Yeah, go ahead. You were.
Vance, I'm not threatening to turn the camera around on any of us. Believe me.
Well, yeah. Just don't give me control without letting me know. Otherwise, you're going to get probably seasick.
Where the booze normally sort of makes you see things a little blurry, Vance is trying to move things fast enough that they're back in focus.
Exactly.
So Vance, what was the first tabletop simulator game that you remember? What was the first of the Saturday Night Fights you jumped in? Was it the What a Tanker game?
I believe it was the What a Tanker game.
So first game and you won.
Yeah, well, that just was icing on the cake. That's what interested me, because it was a World War II thing, and that's my shtick. And I'd never actually ever done a miniatures game of any kind, live or electronic, before. So I thought, hey, this is a great way to try the medium of wargaming out that I haven't done before. And it's, we get to drive toy tanks around on a map. How can that not be fun?
All right, I'm going to throw a penalty flag on you, though. Seriously, you're the dude that's GM'd Sergeants for like a half a decade now, and you're telling us you haven't played a minis game.
Well, because it's not a minis game. It's a hybrid.
I was going to say, there are miniature figures all over that damn table. You can't tell me it's not a minis game.
Yeah, I don't consider that a minis game. It's a game I'm very fond of.
It's a board game.
Yeah, it's a board game with stand-up pieces.
It's like saying Axis and Allies is a miniatures game.
Exactly.
That's not far gone.
Exactly.
I'm just yanking your chain, man.
No, but you know, the thing was, and What a Tanker couldn't be a better example of what Saturday Night Fights is about. I mean, and actually, Vance didn't win the first game, because you're forgetting we played one big sort of group fight with three on three, and then we did Barkman's Corner. But it was the cool thing about it was, whichever way it was, and Vance did win Barkman's Corner rather handily. You had six guys, well, actually five guys and my son. You know, like Vance said, moving tanks around, talking stuff to each other. You know, rolling dice, having fun. It was an example of the best of the things you can do with this sort of a thing.
Yeah, it was exactly like a bunch of us sitting around a table in front of each other, talking smack. Rolling dice, having a great time.
Drinking booze.
Drinking. A little bit of drinking going on.
Sometimes more than others.
Yeah. Well, as has been mentioned on multiple Saturday Night Fight broadcasts, I'm working Saturday nights. Like, I've got a second gig where I'm watching the soccer desk on Saturday nights, and so I'm not able to play, but I am reliably one of your half dozen viewers. That I've always got it open and usually the audio on. The only time I won't have the audio on with you guys is if I'm flipping back and forth between you and, you know, football game. If my guys are on TV, then I'm flipping back and forth between you and them. But the it's funny, because I'll have folks come up to the desk and they hear the extra voices and they're like, "What are you watching?" And I'm like, "A bunch of my friends playing board games." And inevitably, I get this sort of weird look like, "Are you okay, dude?"
Yeah, who the hell wants to watch somebody else play a game?
Yeah, I'm like, yes, I'm fine. And, you know, I'm having a good time watching these guys, you know, talking smack to each other. What's fun is watching your son not talk smack, but simply always have the magic die roll that he needs.
No, and well, he did it to me this weekend, or last weekend. I'm sorry, I missed last weekend. This was 2 weeks ago. We're playing the Battle of Breitenfeld. He has, you know, there's been some comments back and forth about how his strategy is going, whether it's good or bad. And all of a sudden, he sends out this one cavalry unit, one, to charge my entire Saxon force at Breitenfeld. One guy! And everybody's like, "Oh, well, maybe you don't want to do that. It's really..." He winds up disrupting that unit and routing the entire side.
He sent the Dothraki at you.
He did. So that's part of what's fun about gaming generally, and certainly that type.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes it fits. So So, Mike, first game you joined in on this one.
What a tinker. I think it was the second time that, the second or third time that you guys have played that.
So, who was your tank?
I don't even remember right now.
You were one of the Shermans that I blew up, weren't you?
Yeah.
One of the many, actually, many Shermans that were littered the field in wreckage, flaming ickiness.
Actually, I think I got behind you once or twice.
That's true. And then, in advance, like a cowardly panther, scooched up behind his little hill and went all down.
Yeah, my favorite hill. Had a bad roll there or something.
You were like Oddball and accidentally loaded the paint ammo.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So
kind of look like him too.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We'll have to concede the point there. The new call sign for Mike, cue ball. Vance, again, you know, you jumped into What a Tanker because you're normally a World War II dude driving tanks around, blowing stuff up. You know, if it doesn't involve panzers and machine guns, you're usually not interested. And yet you've now jumped into, I believe you were in one of the Age of Sail games. You've been in.
Yes, I've done Age of Sail, and now he's got me doing Napoleonics, if you could possibly imagine.
Didn't he have you in a 30-year, or have you been in any of the 30 Years War Quad games as well?
Oh yeah, we're doing that too.
So,
but that's more typical hex encounter gaming, which is more up my alley, even if the era is not. But the miniature Napoleonics is something that, man, 10 years ago or 5 years ago, I would have told you never would have happened in my lifetime. But it's actually fun. Don't tell Jim that, though.
So I'm curious, Mike. You have actually participated. You actually played my son in Sharp Practice, didn't you?
Yeah. Yep.
Thought so. I actually was watching that video because, like every miniature gamer, even though I have all the tools at hand, I'm fussing a little bit about which scale I like the more. Because you have, for those who don't know, if you go to the YouTube channel where I broadcast all these things, I've actually done a series of instructional videos about how I build games in Tabletop Simulator and how I, you know, build the pieces and maps. Secret, my wife draws all my maps. The question I'm trying to get to is, I was looking at this video and it struck me, had you done Napoleonic miniature stuff before that?
Nope, never have.
Okay, because you did good.
Nope. No,
Civil War, anything along those lines?
Nope, no miniatures at all.
No kidding. Okay. Yeah, folks, I recommend it to you. First of all, it's one of the better instructional videos we've done in terms of showing you Sharp Practice 2, which is a really fun. Vance and I have played a bunch of Sharp Practice.
Yep.
And it's an incredibly fun game, but that's actually a really good video to understand how that system works. And Mike does a really good job of sort of feeling his way through what looks at first like a very complicated set of rules, but once you get it under your belt, it really isn't. I don't know what you thought of it, but it has always seemed that way to me.
Yeah, I agree. It was quick and simple. And simple.
How old are those sharp... Sorry, go ahead, Mike.
I mean, it was perfect for what do we usually go about, 3 hours?
Yep.
So yeah.
That's true about all the games that Jim's been teaching us, is the rules are straightforward and make sense for what they're trying to depict on the table with the toys, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's easy to, it may sound like lots of rules as he's explaining them all to us, but once you play a turn and a half or two turns, the logic behind the rules makes sense with what you're trying to depict on the table. So it's easy to remember after that. It's easy to get into the flow of the game, for sure.
So even some of those older ones are fairly elegant and accessible rule sets, huh?
Don't even. Why are you starting? Why are you...
I'm talking about the new ones, let alone those quads, which, oh my God, the 5 whole pages of rules. I don't know how we could possibly imagine to simulate all that stuff in 10 minutes.
Jim, I'm a podcast host. My job is to poke people and get reactions.
Why do you poke the badger? For those who don't know what our worthy host is talking about, there was a game reviewer who made some, I think, fairly ignorant comments about war games generally, and the particular one that I didn't like was the fact that somehow all of the games of the 1970s and 80s had this inordinate and, you know, unbearable complexity. And I went so far as to write a piece for the Armchair Dragoons, but I also went so far as to, I think we've now taken up three and it'll be four Saturday Night Fights, playing this, the 30 Years War Quad from SPI, in part because, one, they're great games. And they're very fun. They're decent simulations of the period. We're having a blast playing them. We've got Banzai Cat, Vance, Doug, and my son, you know, taking turns, just swapping around and fighting. But more importantly, to Vance's point, you know, and we've made a lot of fun of it, the entire set of rules runs to five pages. And most of that is either introduction or designer's notes.
Yeah.
You or know, the scenario info.
Right.
You know, you touched on a point there, Jim, is that somebody has to have the rules. And Vance and I, we don't usually have these rule sets. So we do try to make it something simple. But just kind of thinking about this is a lot of these publishers are putting stuff out there on Tabletop Simulator.
Yes.
Wouldn't it be interesting if they got to a point where, hey, you can buy this box game, and, oh, by the way, we'll put a certificate in there, and you can download a free official version of Tabletop Simulator DLC, or maybe change it up even to a different way where, hey, you can go out there and buy the DLC for Tabletop Simulator, and the rules come with it now.
Well, I will tell you that is starting to happen. I criticized in a recent podcast, Cole Worley, for a comment he made in the New York Times, but I want to praise him now. PAX Premier 2, which, again, I'll say it again, if you haven't played it, play it, you're missing out. He actually released several versions of what became PAX Premier 2 to Tabletop Simulator to let people play it. There is a fully playable version of that game, rules included, on Tabletop Simulator, with the idea that if you like it, you'll buy it. I was an enthusiastic Kickstarter backer because it's got beautiful pieces and I want to have it for my own. But the idea that now we have many and Cole will tell, and another one, David Thompson, friend of the Armchair Dragoons, has done extensive development of his games in Tabletop Simulator, including Pavlov's House and what's the other one? It's his future warfare game. Vance, you and I looked at it forever at Origins.
For What Remains.
For What Remains, thank you.
There's
a full set of For What Remains on Tabletop Simulator. So, yes, there's a tontine that if you can buy the thing, somebody should have a copy. Just like in real life, right? I mean, not everybody who we know has a game. When we all sit down and play a six-player game, not all six people have a copy, but one of us does. And I'm pretty religious about that. I have copies of these games that I play. I hope it happens more.
I guess from what my perspective is you know, if there's something out there for Tabletop Simulator and somebody says, hey, you know, $5-$10, you get the whole rule set, you get everything on Tabletop Simulator, maybe you like it, maybe you don't. If you like it enough, maybe you go out and buy the actual tabletop game. I don't know. You know, just like you said, it's a way of introducing people.
So, Jim, I have a handful of technical questions for you on the Tabletop Simulator here. First of all, this is less of a question and more of sort of a general comment, but, you know, you're talking about folks releasing stuff for free or different DLC mods with Tabletop Simulator. How long do you think before we see the first release exclusively on Tabletop Simulator? 3 years? Five years?
They're already out there. They're not big games. They're by smaller developers, smaller publishers. There's a Stalingrad game that is Tabletop. The guy just said, I'm releasing it on Tabletop Simulator. I'm hoping to pitch it eventually to a publisher, but I just don't have that outlet right now. Nobody's picking it up. And so he put it out there to Tabletop Simulator.
So he's doing it for lack of alternatives. I'm talking about somebody that the primary intent is Tabletop Simulator just as itself, and no real plan or intent to try and go Dead Tree Edition.
Yeah, I don't know how Steam manages the pay games in the workshop. That's not something, but I think it was Mike. He was talking about it. That if you go into the workshop, there are, what would we say, 3 dozen, 4 dozen modules that are available for a couple bucks.
Well, yeah, so there's DLC, and there's, I forgot how many. I think Skype maybe is the most expensive at 15. Most of them running around the $5 to $10 range.
Like, for example, Dan Viersen has Warfighter, the modern version. His other game called Warfighter, came up later than other games named Warfighter.
Poke the bear.
his version thereof, he's got a great version. It's actually very good. I've been looking for it. So I think we are very, very close if, and this is the key if. I don't know yet that war games have achieved a critical mass on Tabletop Simulator. There's a bunch of us. I talked about some of us. Mad Mark, by the way, Mike, that East Africa game that you talked about, that's also from Mad Mark. He is clearly working his way through his personal SBI collection, which is vast, in his retirement, and determined to give us all these games. I'm like, dude, set up a Patreon. I will give you money. But it's, because sooner or later, he has told me he's getting around to NATO Division Commander.
Oh.
And not that anyone will play it, but I said it's more the principle of the thing.
People are more likely to play that than Campaign for North Africa.
And he has said he actually has a working version of Campaign for North Africa done.
Oh my goodness. Really?
But it's like he said he's just trying to get some of the... What he's doing is he collects the errata and tries to release a clean version.
Wow.
With some, he doesn't do variants that much. But he will say, oh, they admitted they screwed this up, so I want to fix it. Especially misprinted counters. He likes to fix that.
So, yeah, that's doing the Lord's work right there.
What's that?
That's doing the Lord's work right there.
Oh, amen. Amen and amen times two.
So right now in DLC for Tabletop, there are 38 purchasable games right now, which Warfighter is the one that's $14.99, the most expensive, and everything else is below $10.
And again, folks, those all go on sale very regularly. The DLC typically runs $3, and some of it's really worth getting. The zombie side, if you like zombie side and want to play it with a fun way, it's not my everyday thing, but that I did buy that mod, and it's really fun. So,
and I guess, so how much would Warfighter cost if you bought it for?
If you're buying the Dead Tree Edition, it's a $60 to $80 game, depending on when it's on sale and whether or not you're getting it secondhand.
Or you have all the expansions for it, which...
Yeah, now you're talking about a car payment.
New expansions, yeah.
Yeah, if you get the World War II and with all the expansions, that's a car payment on a nice car.
Yeah.
So
I mean, it's still, but to Mike's, I think Mike's point, it's a substantial savings to get it on Tabletop Simulator.
Well, it's an electronic version. Yeah, you don't have the dead trees, right?
Yeah, but the thing is
Vance isn't paying shipping to Canada.
You're giving money to the company. Let's be clear. I mean, this is a licensed product.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Jim, another technical question for you here. How, if at all, does Tabletop Simulator handle a double blind game?
It has boxes. It handles it very well. I have a working Kriegspiel module that I've yet to publish or figure out how we're going to do it. What you can do is for every color, you can, and you'll see this if you watch Doug and I play Blucher, our Aspirin Essling game. There is a thing in Blucher where you have to roll the what are called momentum dice. And one player rolls the other. So if you and I are playing, Grant, I roll your momentum dice. So I have a hidden number that you don't know, but I do. And that's how many things you get to do until I say stop. It's very much like in what I saw you posting. It's the same system as Tank on Tank.
Yeah, it's the action points from Tank on Tank. Which, quite frankly, Pete has openly admitted to having stolen from something else. It wasn't Blücher, it was something else. It's not a new mechanic.
But it's a darn fine one for Napoleonics. It does put a nice little bit of how much exactly am I going to get to do Fog of War type stuff. And the way I managed that was I drew this box, and you draw this box in the color of the player over the area you don't want the other player to see. And every time then that player looks over there, he sees nothing. There's nothing there. Whereas the other player sees it perfectly. And then you can have what's called the gray player, the umpire. He sees everything. And so it's quite easy for that umpire to do as many as, I think, 12 different Kriegspiel maps. And I've got the maps, I've got the pieces, I've got the rulers. The thing that I'm trying to figure out, the real puzzle, is actually communication. And I think, I'm going to do the same thing the two fat lardies did and probably try to do it with a Discord channel.
Okay, yeah.
The problem is that it's going to have to, I think you're probably going to have two umpires playing simultaneously, which you can do, just to manage the flow of information and keep the game from stagnating.
Well, and I think you may run it from a game perspective. I think that all works from a broadcast perspective. I'm not sure how well you broadcast jumping between the video on YouTube, the audio on Discord, and can you hear all the other participants or just the umpire? Are you watching the umpire? Are you watching the game players? I mean, there's a lot of nuts to crack there.
From a broadcast perspective, it's even worse because I'm talking about using Discord for typing.
Yeah, yeah, fun.
Yeah, sharing that with the broader world is. I thought about it. Could you set up an audio channel that because the joy of that, if there was to be one, from a viewer's perspective, would be the ability to listen in or read in on all the conversations that are going on simultaneously.
Yes. Yeah. That would be a hoot.
You know, just to realize, because as with any Kriegspiel, you very quickly get to a point where somebody's making a decision and you're thinking, oh, you did not want to do that.
That's kind of the fun of being the umpire of the Kriegspiel.
Of course. And I think, and I have thought, because of my deep love of Kriegspiel, you know, how nice it would be to let people in on that. You know, when we've talked about running, just dreaming, fantasizing, throwing anything against the wall, playing an 8-hour Kriegspiel at Origins, I think it'd be an absolute blast to, assuming everybody could play nice, everybody would, you know, forget about the players, people going to the con. I could definitely see a handful of people, 12, 15, showing up throughout the course of the day going, okay, what's going on? What's going on? Give me a situation update.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so it's stuff like that. So I would say right now it certainly does handle double blind as a game inside the game. For broadcast, you're absolutely right. Definite challenges.
Well, I was already sort of curious about double blind, but then you brought up that he's working on NATO Division Commander, which almost needs to be double blind to actually work the way it was intended.
Yes.
So that's what made me think about it. Obviously, Tabletop Simulator, like, we've been putting it through its war game paces. This thing can pretty much be used for any sort of tabletop game, though, because it essentially provides a flat virtual surface and a whole bunch of pieces you get to move around on it. And you can flip them over, you can rotate them, you can, you know, roll dice. I'm guessing you can probably, like, kick the table and bump all the pieces out of the way. But it's not enforcing the rules of the game. You have to do that as the play. Like, there's nothing stopping me from picking up a cavalry unit, just teleporting it to the other side of the map. Like, the game, the players have to enforce that on themselves, correct?
To a limited extent, the game does have a scripting language. And some of the more evolved mods for some of the simpler games will enforce certain things. But in large part, certainly if you're talking about miniatures, you're 100% correct. The only person that knows that that cavalry unit is supposed to go 12 inches is you.
Okay.
And the other players. And the other players who will quickly go, hey, you move 13.
Yeah. They wouldn't be saying you move 13. They'd be saying, hey, you move 12.04.
Yeah. Well, I will, you know, OJ will tell you. Vance, did you do any of the Colonial ones?
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Okay, you know, and OJ and Vance will, Mike and Vance will tell you that when we did the Colonial Adventures game, there were a couple cases where players were getting down to geometric precision about how far they were away from certain previously unidentified objects.
Yeah. I remember a couple of those. I think they usually involved, like, ill-advised cavalry charges into the blind.
That happened?
Yes. Yes, I remember a couple of those. So,
well, let's put it this way. They crept up over the top of a hill and realized that the entire Zulu nation was on the other side.
Yeah. Yeah, I think someone referred to it as the Custer moment.
Yes. That happened.
I think we also had one where none of the Zulu showed up.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, that was the same game. It's where you made your way through all the other PEFs and there was nothing there. So that finally when you got to the last, I think one of two, yeah, everybody was there.
Everything was there.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, because there was nowhere left for him to be.
Yeah,
right. They had to be somewhere, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, there's the joke about they're always in the last place you look, right? Because once you find them, you quit looking. But in this case, I think they were in the last possible place you could have looked, I think is what happened. So, Jim, what's coming up next? For folks that are hearing this podcast, you know, like a week and a half from when we're recording it, but for folks that are hearing this podcast and going, hey, those Saturday Night Fight things sound cool, I want to go check them out. Obviously, like the place to find them is over at the Armchair Dragoons website, because we stick them all on the front page as well as discussing them in our forums as you guys are making the plans of what to play. What's coming up? What can they expect to be seeing over the next few weeks if they're tuning into Saturday Night Fights and want to see what's going on?
Well, and first let me say that we always welcome new players. We have been very blessed to get a group of regular guys that show up just to watch. Red Sacks and Beat Cafe and Hasdrubal, guys we just know by their names, who have just shown up to hang out, and in some case like Hasdrubal, who knows some of these rules better than we do, just to kibitz and give us grief. So we always welcome new people to come, to chat, and even to play. That's what those forums are for, is to sign up. And if there's room, you know, we will always, and we'll try to make room if there isn't. You know, I'm always happy to step aside and umpire. So let me just put that out there. Immediately, we have to finish up our 30 Years War Quad game.
That should happen easy enough. I think we got.
Yeah, those two were headed to a nice, quick conclusion. We have a Battle of Quatre Bras Black Powder 2 game that is done. It is the Black Powder 2 Quatre Bras from the original Black Powder 2 books on the subject, including Albion Triumphant Volume 2. With a more elaborated set of the black, trying to really get down and dig into the Black Powder rules and enjoy those. The big one that I want people to think about, because they want to do it, let me also say, Vance owes everybody on the planet, including Mike and I, a refight of Barkman's Corner.
Only if I get my hill.
You don't get a hill. I've already
removed
it.
Die on my hill. That's my hill to die on.
I told you this. This hill is at a minimum is not going to be behind that bloody hedge. You hear me? So we very much want folks to come out and have Vance defend his title in What a Tanker. It was a scenario that was used by the Lardies at a number of their early conventions. It's called Barkman's Corner Overdrive, and it's a representation of the famous the famous attack on an American column of Shermans by a single German Panther, and to Vance's credit, for all the grief we give him, he played very, very well, and as Mike and I will both unhappily tell you, blew up a whole lot of our guys.
That was the point he was supposed to.
It was, but he took out more than I even figured. But the big one, and this is what I want folks to think about, because we're going to need a lot of players. You know, in a perfect world, I think I need 6. October 21st, not that far away, is the anniversary of the Battle of Trafalgar. And I have completed some wonderful guys online who got me the scenario and worked with me through some things. And in fact, I talked to the guy who designed Fighting Sails for Osprey Games. And he gave me some pointers. I have a full Trafalgar scenario for Fighting Sail, which is, I think, the most simple and straightforward game. One thing that Tabletop Simulator struggles a little bit with is rosters. It can do them. But because Fighting Sail is rosterless, I think this will work better. So I'm going to be looking for doughty commanders, especially those brave enough to try to be the Franco-Spanish allies against the Nelson juggernaut at Trafalgar. And then the other thing is, I've been working a lot with David Esnes, he of the Wargaming Company, and his Et Sans Resultat Napoleonics. I think I figured it out. I'm going to be doing a video not for him, but with those rules that I'm having him look at to see that I've got them right. And then it's almost done. We will have a full Ekmul game. And then finally, as we get later into the year, we've already passed the anniversary, but I very much want to do, using Sam Mustafa's Blücher, we're going to do a full Battle of Wagram, which will require many core commanders to step up. So some Fighting Sails, some Napoleonics, some World War II, a lot of different things for people to take a crack at.
For folks that are curious about how to get involved in this, you do need to pop into our forums. We've got, Jim, I think what we're going to end up doing is setting up a dedicated sub-forum for Saturday Night Fights planning and discussion. Just because right now, otherwise, the Saturday Night Fights discussions are sort of spread across whatever genre you happen to be playing. Whatever historical era you happen to be playing in. But it can be a little tougher for the noobs to find those Saturday Night Fights threads. And so I think we're going to create a unified place for folks to sign up and get involved in those. So they're going to need their own copy of Tabletop Simulator, obviously some kind of web connection. What are you guys using for voice right now?
Steam Chat.
So they're going to need to get themselves configured with Steam Chat through however hard or easy that is, get their Steam Chat audio working so that they can be an active participant in the game. But you've got all of, essentially, you're bringing the box to the table and everybody else is playing with your toys.
100%. And I tell people this all the time. If you want to come and play, you are welcome to do it. There's really only two big requirements. Please try out Tabletop Simulator and make sure your machine can handle it. I will tell you, and I'll ask Mike and Vance to weigh in, because my system's pretty high-end. I don't know. What are your systems like? What would you say? Are you high, medium, low, and how well does it run?
Mine's a high-end.
Yeah, mine's pretty middle of the road, so...
And it's not built. Look, Tabletop Simulator is not built around fabulous 21st century graphics. It's just not. It's built around representational graphics. Even the toy soldiers we play with, they don't have that many vertices. I've now opened them in Blender to see. They're certainly not complicated figures, so you can handle it. Even though we've got thousands of figures on the table. But you should check it out. You should find out if it works. The other thing, and this is critical, we have to be able to hear you in order to play with you. So if you got a good mic and you got a good connection, check it out. Always feel free, and I've had a bunch of people already do this, friend me on Steam. I am Cyrano. I know there are a million Cyranos because there are these filthy copycats out there. I am the Cyrano who has as his image the Baron von Reiswitz. Yes, you're going to have to find out who that is.
I would probably say your internet connection is probably more critical than maybe your PC. Because you're constantly getting updates and sending updates back and forth along with trying to chat and listen at the same time. So, I mean, mine's a 4G connection and tops out at one meg usually in the evenings. Mm-hmm. So I don't have extremely fast, and I don't usually have too much trouble keeping up with you guys. So,
but you are not Jason Pratt, who apparently gets his satellite bounced off the 12th moon of Venus.
We can't all be Jason.
I forgot to mention, speaking of Jason, I owe him, and we will do this, a sharp practice in the American Civil War. And I have that almost done. And we are also, I think, going to at some point do both of the other SPI quads that matter, which is to say the Napoleonic quad and the American Civil War quad.
You don't know how wrong you are about the only SPI quads that matter.
The man doesn't...
I'm tempted to eject you from this call on principle. Mod quads, look, here's the deal. Mod quads 1 and 2 are not only masterpieces of bite-sized modern gaming, but the Yugoslavia game in Mod Quad 2 that was released in 78 or 79 accurately predicted the dissolution of Yugoslavia by having a three-player scenario in there that actually split the Yugoslavians into a Serbian force and a Croatian force, determined a little bit by random die roll as to which unit went where, because they all start as untried units, so designations don't really matter. And then had NATO and the Russians kind of, you know, coming in on either side of a Yugoslavian civil war. They predicted all that in the late 70s.
See, and Matt Mark, who is the genius of the SPI games, he has done Panzergruppe Guderian. He has done a number of other of the moderns. I don't think he's touched any, because I keep waiting for him to do Mech War, and I know he wants to do it. But I'm going to put in his ear the idea that it might be of consequence, and I might get Brandt to suddenly load something onto that non-game-playing machine of his if suddenly Mod Quad is available.
Now, the issue is not loading something onto the machine. The issue is the Saturday and Saturday night fights. Like, I work Saturday nights, so we'd have to turn it into Thursday night fights or something if I'm going to be a part of it.
We will happily take advantage of your inattentiveness.
Yes, I'm sure you would. So, all right, we've hit our hour mark. I know Adam's been chiming in on the forum saying, "Look, man, let these podcasts run as long as they want. You're not really taxing the listener because we can always pause and come back to it later." That's true, but we also don't want to overtax our families from whom we're taking the brief sabbatical to record these things. So I don't want to overstay our welcome is kind of where I'm going with all that. I hope the listeners have learned a bunch about Tabletop Simulator and what it can give you as a game player in terms of kind of replicating that around the table experience with more immediacy and interaction than with what I think Vassal gives you at the moment. Vance, you've played a bunch of Vassal stuff also, right?
I've played tons and tons of Vassal, and I disagree with your statement there. Vassal does a good job of doing it as well. Tabletop Simulator just makes it a little more, I don't know, visceral. Vassal can be a little sterile, I guess. It's not quite the same as handling cardboard, and Tabletop Simulator seems to be closer to that. You would have a hard time doing miniatures in Vassal.
Yeah.
I mean, it can be done, but it's not pretty.
It's not intended for it either.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Jim, one last quick Tabletop Simulator question. Can you bring your own dice?
Yes, you can. That's the disturbing part. There are several collections of dice. This goes to the RPG side of things, because one of the we've talked about wargaming, which of course is our space, but and I think Mike referred to this earlier. When you go on to Tabletop Simulator, I figured out the math. What's 28 times 28?
More than I can do in my head.
Lots.
Yeah.
464.
Is that right? Some very large number. That's how many Tabletop Simulator mods I have right now.
There's over, in the workshop, there's over 27,000.
Just because I have no impulse control, and I don't feel I should have to if I'm not buying things.
infinite storage space, so what the hell?
Right, I delete things, and I keep things, I go back and forth, but my point is, you're going to find this whole other side of gaming. Obviously, board games, which are not my thing, I don't have very many of those, but I do have a bunch of the role-playing stuff. And, for example, some full bat lunatic has built a 3D model of the Keep on the Borderlands.
Good Lord.
Really?
Yes, the whole freaking thing. Down to the point that you can go down to the miniatures, and there, if you do the mouse over thing we do, it gives you that character and his or her stats.
Nice. I'm just thinking about the size of that. I mean, that's... What does he have, like a 38 by 42 table?
Yep. Which, again, in Tabletop Simulator, who cares?
Yeah, I know, but damn, that's big.
Oh, yeah, and then you can leave, switch to another implementation by that same guy, and do the Caves of Chaos.
Yeah.
In 3D. Where you're, you know, and it does, now they've installed Fog of War, so that the player can only see what his little miniature sees.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's a cool thing. That'd be great for war games.
Yeah, I really want to see you guys put that in place for your dudes on the ground, especially in your minis games, right?
Sure.
So now your dude at Aspern Essling, there's no god view, right? You're looking through the trees.
It's like, does he have line of sight? I don't know. Look at the guy.
Yes. Can you see me? No. Then you don't have line of sight.
Right. And so with this role-playing piece has come an incredible profusion of dice. There are hundreds of sets of dice. So, yes, you can, you know, I of course, if you've watched our games, I always use the same die roller. I think it's very functional and efficient. But the thing is, shoot. Somebody did, and Mike saw this when we played, somebody whipped up in Blender the official Sharp Practice dice that I use when we play Sharp Practice.
Yeah.
So yes. And I think to Vance's point about the sterility of Vassal, that's absolutely a part of it for me. And the fact that there is, it's not quite tactile, but it's almost tactile to say, look, that's the dice I could play with if my friends were here and I had a table that I was stealing from my wife's dining room and we were playing a 4x6 game of Sharp Practice.
Oh, yeah, you get much more of that from Tabletop Simulator. That's for sure. For sure, for sure, for sure.
All right, so folks that want to come join in, hop in our forums, look into the discussions there. That's the best place to sort of chime in and say, hey, I want to play, you know, get me involved. And then and then the welcoming committee here on the podcast, we'll get involved and make sure that we get you connected right place, right time. Get the technical specs checked out ahead of time if you need a hand with it. And then come play through Saturday Night Fights. I'll tell you, what I'm really looking forward to is not just the Saturday Night Fights the way we're broadcasting right now. What I'm really looking forward to is the point at which we've got enough folks playing enough games that we've got a game going every night of the week. And it's just a matter of which night or which game you feel like jumping into, even if we're not broadcasting them all on YouTube, because Lord knows we don't need that much wargaming stuff being broadcast out into the world. People want to do it.
Sure
do it.
Do.
That's great.
Sure,
that's awesome. I'm more interested in we get folks playing as many games as possible. And so it would be cool if Saturday Night Fights sets up a Tuesday night franchise and a Wednesday night franchise, and it gets to the point where, Jim, like, you're taking a night off and just watching other dudes play, right? I want us to be able to get to that point because we've got so many folks playing. So let's get as many people involved and engaged as possible, And look, well, we're a pretty affable group who's used to walking people through how to play stuff.
And this matters an awful lot to me, and I'm going to take one moment to be serious. There's a great article in The Atlantic a couple months ago about the fact that one of the transcending issues of this generation is going to be loneliness, which is a very strange thing to think, but it's true. We're having smaller families, we're living longer, all this other stuff. And I can't believe sometimes I posted some pictures of my Trafalgar game to the Wargamers group. I got over 230 likes for that. It completely blew me away. I was stunned. And I got a number of comments. I posted another picture to the Black Powder group of my Umdurman game and got many, many dozens of people and a whole bunch of people. Oh, my God, that's incredible. That's incredible. And I'm like, guys, we are now past the point. You want to paint your figs, please do that. And if you have people you can play with, do that. But don't stop gaming because you don't have a group right near you. Reach out. You know, reach out to other people, not necessarily the Armchair Dragoons if you don't want to, but reach out to other gamers, play on Vassal, play on Tabletop Simulator. Keep your mind active in this way. It's so rewarding. If you go back to the first time that we played Toygenhausen Black Powder, and you see that game between me, Doug, our other Mike, Silent Disapproval Robot, and Vance, I think that was the group, right?
Yep.
That was a screaming blast. I haven't had a lot of better times around a tabletop. So, I mean, we were dying of laughter. There was all sorts of absurdity. Oh, it was Jason. Jason was there. I'm sorry. And we had just the best freaking time. Don't deny yourself that. Use the tools. These are out there. They're incredibly affordable. And it's just such a wonderful time. Please do it.
I think that's probably the appropriate word on which we end. So I want to thank our audience for sticking with us and listening to this to this episode of Mentioned in Dispatches. We appreciate you taking the time to listen to us pontificate and ramble about the Tabletop Simulator and our Saturday Night Fights and online tabletop gaming, which sounds like an oxymoron, but we've made it happen and we've made it work. And that's due mainly to guys like these three who have jumped in and played a whole lot all the time. So Mike, thank you for joining us for your rookie cruise here on Mentioned in Dispatches.
Thanks for the invite.
And Vance, I hope you've dug out your winter clothes. You should have only put them away for a week or two anyway, right? Because Canada.
Hey, my pool is still open. Don't rush things.
And Jim, thank you for jumping in here. You're becoming more regular than Mirth these days.
Oh, dear Lord. I have to start drinking.
Hey, he's probably drinking enough for all of us, so we'll be fine.
All right.
And to our listeners, thank you very much for joining us. ArmchairDragoons.com, swing by the forums, come check us out. And we look forward to next time on Mentioned in Dispatches.